Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I want to encourage you to go on iTunes and download a new album. Granted, this is all about nepotism, but it happens to be a fantastic album. My son Aaron and four others of his friends formed a rock and roll band a couple years ago as a way to get into places where Christians normally are not able to serve and have a presence, be able to eventually share their faith. And the band plays what would be called American rock. They write their own songs, and I just think the new album is great. Now, the name of the band is Francis and the Wolf. Now, that comes from the story of St. Francis as he confronts a wolf that is ravaging a local town, and he encourages him to leave. It's using that title as somewhat of a statement about nonviolence. But the name of the album is called Ladies and Gentlemen. And I want to encourage you, if you like good music, I think you will find this to be great music. I'm obviously proud, but I'm also convinced that some of the lyrics are profound and the music is very tight. And so if you get a chance, go on iTunes. You can download it. Each song's only like 89 or 99 cents. And I think you really like it. I know I love it, not only because it's Aaron, but because it's really solid music. Well, we're moving next week toward the Identity Integrity Seminar. We don't have a large group. There'll be about 80 or 90 there. But I'm really looking forward to this because identity is such a foundational topic regarding well-being at every particular level of human existence. Also, I'll be then leaving soon to go out to Colorado, and October 11 to 14, I'll be doing that same seminar at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. You can find the information on our website. And if you happen to be in the Boulder, Longmont, Fort Collins, Denver area, I'm going to be doing a two-day men's event at Cornerstone Church. I believe it's like a Friday, Saturday, maybe the October 20, 21st, somewhere in there. And so if you're around, please consider coming. Then the second full week, maybe it's the first full week of November, somewhere around the 6th or 7th, I go down to Richmond at the Healing Place in the suburban town of Mechanicsville, and I do a seminar there on basic formational prayer. So if that's something you're interested in, again, you can go to our website or you can go to the Healing Care website and you can get information. You can also go to the Healing Place and look it up there. So if you're in any of those areas, I encourage you to come out. It's going to be a great time. I guess I should mention a couple other things now that I'm doing all this advertising. One of them is my new book is out, Identity Matters, Discovering Who You Are in Christ. If you'd like, you can pick that up through Amazon. And also in October 26th and 27th, my staff will be doing a seminar in Ashland on how to lead small groups. So if you're interested, again, go to the website and you can find some, I think, great information about what we're doing. There's also different videos there and teachings and series, and all of those are available to you free, especially one called An Invitation to a Healing Journey. It's a 4 or 5 part video series. It comes with a workbook. It also comes with a leader's guide to help people understand why a healing journey is so important. Recently, I was, I guess not taken aback, but disappointed to find out that in an article, as people were surveying non-Christians, their impression regarding Christians is that we major in judgment, that that's what Christianity is all about. And if someone comes to a church, it is our job to point out all the things that they may be doing wrong, all the sins, if you will, that they're committing, and that somehow that's the centerpiece of the gospel. Well, you know, I don't believe that at all. The centerpiece of the gospel is the extravagance of God, the love of God, the desire of God to come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, to show us the tenderness that he has toward us, and then to provide a way that we can be reconciled with God. That's the real essence of the gospel of the kingdom. And yet somehow we have become people that are known more by judgment than we are by generosity. Well, for several years now, I spend time reading through the Bible. I happen to love it. And God always seems to lift up something and speaks to me. And this morning, in my New Testament reading, I went into 1 Peter. I have so many verses underlined in 1 Peter, especially in the first chapter, about, you know, God giving us trials in order that it can prove that our faith is worth more than gold, and how God encourages us to live lives that are reflecting of who we are in Christ. Those are all great teachings. But I happen to notice in verse 2, a phrase I didn't underline that in fact is actually quite unbelievable. Peter, in his introduction, says to his readers, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That word abundance is great. And right now, what synonyms come to your mind when you hear the word abundance? Well, phrase more than enough, lavish, extravagant, over the top. Those are the kinds of thoughts that come to my mind when I hear the term abundance. And what Peter is saying here is that we should receive grace and peace in abundance because that's what flows from the heart of God. Wow, that's not judgment, is it? That's everything but judgment that's flowing from the heart of our Father in heaven because of Jesus Christ, delivered to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk just for a minute about grace. I happen to love the little phrase that comes from a book by a former colleague of mine, David DeSilva, when he said that anytime you give a gift that is undeserving, that's the nature of grace. But what makes God's grace so unbelievable and amazing is that he gives grace so abundantly to people who have neglected and offended him so significantly. Grace is the gifting that God gives to us because he's loving and he cares for us. And it has nothing to do with our behavior and how well we follow the rules. It has to do with the generosity of God. Grace, the giving of great gifts in abundance. Wow, that's a powerful phrase. A little bit further in his letter, still in chapter 1, Peter says that we should set our hope on this grace that will be eventually fully revealed to us when Jesus comes. That's a great thought, isn't it, about Jesus coming back for us? We don't talk about that a lot now, but boy, when I was first a Christian years ago, that was one of the topics of sermons over and over again, the second coming of Christ. I don't really know what the nature of that is, but the idea that Jesus will come for us, and in that moment we will be like him, and in that moment, by grace, we will receive gift after gift after gift. And so what Peter is saying right off the bat is let grace be yours in abundance. It reminds me also of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where another apostle, John, says that God loves to lavish his love on his children. And then the next phrase, and that is who we are. Think about that. What's your identity? You are God's child. That is who you are. That doesn't sound like judgment to me. That sounds like profound generosity that is coming straight from the heart of God. So different than the idea that God is some cosmic Santa Claus looking who is naughty or nice. But instead, he is this father of love, extravagant, unconditional love, who pours out grace, gifts that are not deserved. So I began to think about that on my walk this morning. I love to walk, by the way. I go on at least a 4-mile walk every morning, and I get to go through the country, and today I cut through the woods, and it was beautiful, and the geese were flying. Just great. But I began to reflect on God's generosity to me in spite of all the mistakes, all the sins, all the places that I failed to live out of who I really am in Christ. And those are many. And yet, he has poured out such grace. The grace of a beautiful family and fantastic children, of course, of being saved, and that all the promises of Christ are mine in Christ. All the promises of God are mine in Christ. On and on and on it goes. Not because I deserved it. Not because I stayed faithful to every jot and tittle of the law, but because God is so generous. Grace be yours in abundance. I pray that today somehow God, through the Holy Spirit, will open your eyes, that you might see grace of God falling. Maybe the term would be gracelets, falling from heaven. I think if we would open our eyes and watch, we would see that. But the other thing that Peter says in his letter is, may not only grace be yours in abundance. By the way, it might be good for you to just pray and say, oh, Lord, I'd love that. He also says, may peace be yours in abundance. I was reading just yesterday, I mean, it was Isaiah in my Old Testament reading, and I was reading where the prophet says, God will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him, those who trust in him. And then he goes on and calls God the eternal rock. Peace. I am admittedly not a person that has lived a life with great experiences of peace. A lot of that comes out of a rather traumatizing childhood. But I've lived with lots of anxiety, battle anxiety, my whole life. And so the idea of peace, wow, that just sounds so appealing. I've known the absence of anxiety. I wonder how much I've known the presence of peace. And yet, what Scripture is saying is, we should have peace in abundance. Oh, I'd love that. Whatever's getting in the way of it, Lord, I pray that you would come and you would touch and you would heal and you would eliminate, because I can't imagine what it would be like to completely rest in peace. It's about trust. There's no doubt. Peace is trusting that God has a safety net under you, that no matter what life brings you, God is not distant from it. Peace is the concept of well-being. I love the word peace. Jesus himself spoke about peace, a peace that is given to us that is very different from the peace the world gives. The idea that it comes in Scripture in Isaiah 43 of God walking with us through storms, or the teachings that come from Luke where Jesus is saying that our Father cares about flowers and birds and how much more he cares about us, and that God wants us to have peace and abundance. Now, I think peace is more than simply emotion. It's a state of well-being, and that we can receive that in God. Peace and abundance. Yeah, that would be my number one prayer today. Oh, Lord, may I experience your peace. Now, God is not saying that we will not face trials. As a matter of fact, here in 1 Peter, he talks about trials, but he has a different perspective on it. For him, trials come our way in order to, in some way, strengthen our faith, in order that we might grow in our trust of God. After he talks about trials, he then has a phrase here that, again, just thinking about it lifts my heart, but I really need God's grace to pour out upon my heart that I might experience it. It says here that though we haven't seen him, we believe in him, and that as a result, we are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. There's an old book by Martin Lloyd-Jones called Joy Unspeakable. It's a book about how the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with his presence and his power, and how it results in joy unspeakable. Or in Peter's words, joy that is inexpressible and glorious. Joy is definitely related to hope. The whole idea that we would have hope overflowing in our heart. Hope of God's intervention, hope of another day, hope of a time when all the promises that God has given us are fulfilled in Christ as we enter our eternal presence with him. I think joy is important. Again, it is one of the characteristics of the kingdom of God. We are not to be a solemn people. I remember as a young kid hearing people quote a little, if you will, ironic phrase that the Quaker meeting has begun, no more laughing, no more fun. How contrary that is to what we see in Scripture. Jesus loving a good party, Jesus going to banquets, eating dinner with his friends, singing great songs together. The picture of Revelation where there are songs being sung around the throne of God, and of course the picture of a great banquet. I don't think people are eating there solemn without a smile on their face. I think they're overwhelmed. I think the people in the kingdom that are there now are overwhelmed with joy. And that somehow here in the not yet, we can begin to experience that. Joy unspeakable. I love the way Peter puts these words together. And then he has this interesting phrase. He says, this joy comes because of what's being formed in you in the salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul. Joy comes when we begin to think of what's taking place in our lives because of what Christ has given us. Earlier in 1 Peter, and I think these are great statements, it talks about the fact that we've been given a new birth into a living hope. We're born into hope. We're not born into depression and despair. Once we come to Christ, we're born into hope. That's part of our birthright. And it's come to us because of the resurrection of Jesus. We see where this ends in this glorious transformation. It also says that this salvation that's being worked out in our souls is providing for us an inheritance that will neither perish, spoil, or fade. Obviously, it's an inheritance that we get to taste a little bit now, but then we will fulfill and fully experience in the kingdom to come. But it's neat to know that we're not only born again into a living hope, that we will be living all throughout eternity, but we're born again and given an inheritance that will neither spoil nor fade. Great, great blessings. There's a third blessing I think is interesting here because it talks about being shielded by God's power. And I know I spoke to this a long time ago, but it's part of this whole abundance and grace and peace paradigm today. And that is that it says that we're shielded by God, shielded by God's power. I remember once when I was doing study on that passage that it talked about that it's the notion of some power walking sentry around our lives. And that's what God is doing. And so put these pieces together. So Peter is saying to us, may you experience grace and peace in abundance, extreme, lavish, over the top, more than enough. Do you want to say a little prayer right now with me and say, oh, Father, may it be true for us today. May we taste it. May we touch it. May we even capture the fragrance of this abundance of grace that is ours so it lifts our spirit in a world that is trying to beat us down. May we taste the inexpressible joy that is ours because of the salvation that's being worked out in our souls. A salvation that includes new birth into a living hope, a hope of living through all eternity. A salvation that gives us inheritances that will not spoil or fade, and a salvation that causes God to walk sentry around our lives. See, I think what Jesus is saying to us when he talks about the fact that God cares for us, he knows the number of hairs that are on our head. He knows cares for birds and cares for flowers, and he will also care so much more for us. I think that what Jesus is saying to us is that our God is generous in his care and his love for his children, and that as we dwell on that and think about that, it should bring us great hope. Don't leave the present moment where God is speaking that to us, only to then fret over what either has happened or what may happen. This isn't easy. And I have to admit, it is very easy for me to lapse into these fears and anxieties, and I get even anxious about getting anxious. But yet Scripture is saying to us that what God wants us to receive, if we could just open our hands and our hearts and allow him to do a deep healing in us, of the things that keep us from opening our hands and our hearts, that what God wants to give us is grace and peace in abundance through Jesus Christ. You know, I have a feeling that if on this day you would think about this, be still before God, and meditate on these wonderful words that come from 1 Peter, well, I think it would lift your heart. It's certainly lifting mine. as is the opportunity to spend this time with you. I really enjoy it. Once again, if you ever want to email, you can send an email at info@healingcare.org, and we would be glad to respond to you. I'd love to know where you are, you know, how many of these you've listened to, ways they've been helpful. Are there any topics you'd like me to begin to address? It's a joy to be with you here on Slingstones. God bless you.